One night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barnyard with the greatest of care. Down in the hen house something stirred when he shouted, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So calm yourself."
Nelson George, why do you call Louis Jordan father of rhythm and blues?
Well, Louis Jordan was really the key transitional figure between the swing era and the quote-unquote rhythm and blues era. His beat was a little more pronounced in swing in terms of having a real hard beat as opposed to the swing beat, which swung. And his lyrics were very much about the transition from being a blacks went through from being rural people to being city people.
Nelson George is the black music editor of Billboard magazine and a regular contributor to Playboy and The Village Voice. He's also written several books, including a bestseller, The Michael Jackson Story, and Where Did Our Love Go? A History of Motown. His latest book, called The Death of Rhythm and Blues, tells the story of black music from pre-World War II rhythm and blues through present-day rap. Nelson George says many factors contributed to the demise of rhythm and blues.
One we've seen, like the demise of black-owned record companies to a great degree. Motown being sold to MCA is like the ultimate metaphor for that. But Motown was the last of many of its generation to go. In the inner-city black America, the black record store, which had the jukebox playing on or the speaker on the sidewalk, and you heard the music when you came by, and you were able to go in the store and ask the guy to play you a record. That kind of old community where it was almost an education in music going on, which I grew up on, has really disappeared, and really, to a great degree, it's really very rare now to have those stores still existing. Places like the Apollo has been revived in the last few years by some black businessmen in New York, but otherwise, the Regal in Chicago, the Uptown in Philadelphia, the Howard in Washington, D.C., there's just so many of these theater institutions are mostly gone. They're pieces of history now, most of them. Black radio, which used to be a voice for the black community, and very proud of that fact, has really undergone an evolution where most of the bigger major market black-oriented stations call themselves urban in a way to try and camouflage their black roots. They don't play gospel music. They don't even play that much jazz anymore. So they don't even give you a taste for the totality of black music. These are the kind of things that come together and gave me the idea to call the book The Death of Rhythm and Blues.
There seems to be a parallel between what sure. goes on in black music and what is going on with black America politically, economically. Would you agree with that, both historically and present day?
Oh, absolutely. I think that in the 60s, they had all these great slogans. And one of them was, you know, if you follow the music, you really get a grasp for what's happening with black people. I started thinking that maybe this one had some validity. And when I look at the era, which I characterize the era of the death of rhythm and blues, which is really the mid-70s up until now, what you see are... you saw a period where black America really went into a tremendous backslide. The civil rights movement lost a lot of momentum. You see the housing situation, the unemployment is worse, the educational system is worse. And I think the music somehow reflects a lot of those negatives and a lot of the things that are wrong with the music, are wrong with the institutions and surrounding the music as well.
Give us an example.
I think, again, this idea of black radio. Because of the success of black music as a format, you've seen white corporations come in. RKO has done this very effectively in a couple of cities, NBC as well, and started quote-unquote urban stations where they play black music and draw black listeners without giving anything back to community. With very little community outreach in terms of serving the needs of that black community in terms of programming. So these are that to me is a real explicit metaphor, explicit example of the separation has happened between the music and the roots of the music and its role in the community and the institutions which provide the music, distribute it, and profit from it.
I'm thinking about the 70s, where you were talking about there was this deterioration. And the music I remember being played at that time, it was almost twofold. There was disco on one side, but then Stevie Wonder was being played at the same time. And he was someone who seemed to put a lot into his lyrics.
Well, you got to see, Stevie went through a period. Stevie's last great period was 1976. And that was toward the end of what I call a great period in black music. In the early 70s, there was a lot of social statements being made, a lot of musical ambition being presented. Gamblin' Huff from Philadelphia, What's Going On by Marvin Gaye, the social conscious music that came out of Motown by The Temptations. Mm-hmm. There was just a lot of Curtis Mayfield, Superfly, which is a magnificent record. But after that point, after like 74, which is like, I think, a breakoff period, you began to see two things. You began to see a disco, which one thing watered down the black content, and also because a lot of it was very mindless, caused a lot of resentment toward black music, and the whole disco sucks thing came up. And two, you saw this idea, particularly since black music had begun to really be marketed by corporations, the idea that the way for black music to succeed was it to have this crossover, or to always think in terms of reaching wide audiences. And it's really been a tragedy. I think one of the great ironies of popular music today is that George Michael and Sade and a lot of other artists from England who grew up on Motown and Stax, Steve Winwood as well, are making better black R&B records than a lot of black artists are today.
It's also interesting that in 1986, Sam Cooke's What a Wonderful World hit the top of the British playlist.
Well, I mean, the Brits have always been very good about this. I'd say that the Brits have a great sense of tradition and how to make tradition contemporary. Sam Cooke was able to come back because no one has been able to sing like Sam Cooke. He had a distinct sound, a distinct perspective on his music. I came up with this phrase, retro nouveau, a couple
of
years ago.
What does that mean?
Well, it suggests an embrace of the past in a contemporary style. I mean, my epitome of retro nouveau to me is Anita Baker, who's an artist whose records are contemporary, obviously, but she has a great sense of tradition. You hear her sing, and the woman has the ability to suggest gospel, jazz, and blues, and how she phrases. It showed, again, that you could do good black music. You could do uncompromised music, music that expresses the artist, expresses her musical roots, and yet appeal to a wide range of Americans.
Stay with me, and you will see my arms will hold you, baby. Never leave, 'cause I believe I'm in love. Sweet love, help me calling out your name. I feel no shame, I'm in love. Sweet
by giving these examples of singers, Anita Baker, that are coming up now, it seems as though rhythm and blues might be like the phoenix rising from the ashes.
Well, I think there are some good things happening. I always go back to rap music, which I think has been a great stimulant, not just for itself, because it's very raw, very uncompromised. The rap people who are into rap music have a really wonderful sense of community.
Well, the industry was pretty reluctant to promote rap as a music.
Exactly. I think that's one of the reasons it's been able to maintain its artistic integrity, its street worthiness, and its artistic base. Now the major labels are getting involved, giving them big advances, marketing dollars. And it will be very interesting to see whether or not rap can sustain its integrity and its outsider's point of view in this new economic reality. Rhythm and blues did not and has not overall, and I'm hoping that rap will not go the same way.
Nelson George, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Thank you.
Nelson George is black music editor of Billboard magazine and author of the new book, The Death of Rhythm and Blues.
All the same, no matter time or place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand. I remember one year my mom took me school shopping. It was me, my brother, my mom, oh, my pop, and my little sister all hopped in the car. Headed downtown to the Gallery Mall. My mom started bugging with the clothes she chose. I didn't say nothing at first. I just turned up.
Parents Just Don't Understand by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. This is Fresh Air.